Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. Just 1 minute, we're going to be... Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. We have a power-packed program for you today. I'm going to speak and reflections on Savior's Day, and we ask you to forgive us for being late. But I'm going to have my dear friend, Brother Imam, who is fresh from the streets of New York City, ready to teach our people. And I'm going to have him to open an address. Then I'm going to follow it up at the top of the hour. Brother Imam?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam.
Are you ready, willing, and able to smack, spank Satan? Or are you ready to knock him out? Which one?
I'm going to just set him up so you can knock him out, Brother Imam. I'm going to set him
up. I want you to daze him real good. I want a good setup.
Yes,
I want you to set him up the way Imam Muhammad, the way the Ahmadiyya Muhammad set the Imam up. The Ahmadiyya Muhammad said, I'm not teaching you Islam. He said, I'm just setting you up for the next man. So when you set
me up,
I can come and make pound punch and knock him right out. The next one will be knocked out. The man who's in the corner, he's waiting. He's getting ready to throw a left and a right jab. He's getting ready. He's also a baseball player. So he's getting ready to come straight home. So if he slide in, y'all don't get nothing to say. I already warned you. But he now moved by Shia Akta.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam, brother, ma'am. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I always like to begin with God's name, the Most Benefactor, the Most Redeemer. I open the bed with and testify to the whole world that there is nothing worthy of worship but God and God alone. And we have been tremendously blessed to see and understand through the eyes and through the understanding of Imam Muwahhid Muhammad, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, who was born for this mission that was taught to the members of the Nation of Islam, that he would be the one to help the man that taught his father, Master Farah Muhammad, and his father to do this work. And he have done a magnificent job in doing the work of helping Master Farah Muhammad and Master Elijah Muhammad. So God is the one that we praise and give thanks to always. He has no partner, no associate. He's God and God alone. There is no one sitting up in heaven on the right hand throne of God, consulting with him or giving him any advice. He has no mother, no father, sister, brother, aunt, or uncle. He's God and God alone. He's the creator. There's only two things to beloved people, creation and the creator. And we worship the creator. The creator is the one. We're talking about the created the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything in between. He has no partner. He has no associate. And we bear witness that Muhammad, the prophet, born 1,436 years ago, he is the seal of the prophet. He's the last of the prophet and one of the great messengers that Almighty God, Allah, has sent down through time to humanity. He is the last one that brought the word that began with all of the prophets from Abraham up to him. And he did a magnificent job, and we thank God for him. I'd like to thank you, Imam Alfred, for inviting me again to open up for him on the show. Religion means a lot, and I'm not gonna talk long because of Imam. He just returned. He just returned from where it started at, from one of the cities that was a stronghold for this religion being recognized today in our day and time, Chicago. Chicago. That was our headquarters on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad Temple number 2 in Chicago, where he resided after he left Detroit. And this is where our Savior, they started under his leadership for 44 years. So Imam Amford, over the weekend, he was one of the major presenters. He gave the Jummah khutbah Friday, and I think he did some other talking because they was talking about on another show how excellent of a talk that he gave him and Brother Kader. I know the both of them. So I'm gonna just talk to Imam Alfred is ready to come home because I know he's full. Because we always recognize whenever a minister went out to Chicago and came back to his temple, we had special a whole back meeting was called. That's what we call it. Then a whole back meeting was called so that a minister came back to us what was told to them by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If the minister didn't go, captain, when anybody that went out to Chicago that sat with Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his home, and when he gathered the laborers, as they were called, to give him important information, how to keep us going forward to the future, to where we reach our destiny, they had to come back and make a report. And I have been with Imam Alfred. He's one of the best reporters I know of bringing messages back like it was given. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say, and I'm asking you out of kindness to, if you know this number, to share it with your friends, your relatives, and tell them to call in right now, and they can hear Imam Alfred when they get ready to come on, bring back how he seen this great day called Savior's Day for Muslims that began in 1930. We are the Muslims that still belong to that movement called the Nation of Islam at that time, and until the leadership of his son came in, Imam Muhammad, and he, the first name, when he changed from the Nation of Islam, he called us the Body Christ. He said, we the Body Christ. We the real Body Christ. And I'm the head of that body. And if you have studied and seen the works and the movement, people that were with the Honorable Imam Walter D. Muhammad that was called the Body Christ, you will see the movement. If you study scripture, you will see that that was the movement that typifies what Jesus Christ, Moses, Abraham, David, Solomon, Lot, and all the way down, all the way up to the last of the prophets represented. It has been the leadership of Imam Muhammad and the type that we see in all of those honorable, noble prophets and messengers, men and women, that has been sent to humanity. You will see that type more identifiable in the community that we call the world community of Islam in the West, the Body Christ, the leader, Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, as God blessed him and lifted him up to higher and higher stations in life, and where the world recognize him, especially the United States of America. They recognize Imam after his physical passing as the American Imam. And that's what Quran say, our father Abraham made a prayer to God and asked Almighty God to bless all of his offspring and progeny. That's us, the community of Abraham, the Abrahamic faith, the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims. We are a family, our community of Abraham and Adam. And it has been one from the African American descendants of slaves that was shut out by his brothers, like Joseph was shut out and put down in the well. But who established Joseph in the land? Who is the one that blessed him to rise, to be raised up in the eyesight of the people that put him down to the king that was in charge at that time? And the king was in trouble and needed someone to help him out of that trouble through interpretation. He thought that all of his magicians and his wise men could help him understand the dream. They couldn't do it. But God had raised one up that could do it, and that was Joseph. And Imam is that type. And our community is that type. Because the Imam told us when he came in office, he said, y'all put down your pens and your pads, because you're going to have to listen to me for a long, 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 long time. And we still listening to the Imam. And that's what Savior's Day is about, too, for us to meet and gather all of those of us that was in the Nation of Islam, whether you still participating you know in your heart and soul that that's your home. That's your home. And Imam Effort and those that were able to join him over this weekend, I was not able, but I made my intention to, if God willing, to be there next year. But Imam Effort was at the house that was built by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara Muhammad and Imam Arthur D. Muhammad, Mosque Ave, and started out calling the convention the Muslim, you know, Savior State. And it grew into a big community. And we are the community of Imam Wahid Muhammad. Now, I'm saying this here because I know there's a lot of people that might not want to identify that way. But I know, and Imam Abdul know what community we belong to. And he shared a great weekend with those people who identify in the community of Imam Wahid Muhammad. And I know that he have a lot to share with us because he's keen. He's keen. He got a keen eye. He's rational, he's logical, and he's balanced in his thinking. And he's able to bring information that I know a lot of the leaders perhaps miss because they're not alert and they're not as conscious in their perception and understanding as I see them after Muhammad in. I know that we are. I'm asking you to invite all your friends who got this memo to gather around your phone and put it on speakerphone. And when as soon as Imam Alfred get ready, you know he'll let me know because I'm anxious to hear from him too. Because I heard on another show called Lifeline, and that is a strong supporter of Mosque Ave and the leadership of Imam Muhammad and support his son Wallace D. Muhammad. Who's over the mosque? So I'm on that show too. And Imam Rasul and them, they had quite a bit of people that belongs to the Lifeline to be in Chicago, and they spoke about the talk that Imam Alfred gave on the show this morning. So that made me more want to hear what he has to say, because I've traveled with Alfred, Imam Alfred Muhammad. I've traveled to him with Chicago and had invited him one time before to come out and be the keynote speaker for the Juma service and the Patriotism Day. I drove him out there, him and his little youngest son, Joseph. We all went out there and came and stayed in the hotel together. We ate together. We slept together. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. And I've seen Imam Alpha go to work when he was out there at that time. I worked with him before he even got out there because it was a brother and sister that were having being really mistreated by a so-called Muslim. He wasn't in our community. And, you know, we have that kind of problem. People that is jealous of the community that we belong to, those of us that came out of the Nation of Islam and made the transition from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad leadership to the leadership of his son. Those that didn't make the transition, they stayed with Minister Farrakhan Khan, and some of them might not like the separation that took place. Now, we who say that we was Muslims in the Nation of Islam, FYs, NDT, we went to Savior's Day, you know in your heart's heart that Imam W.D. Muhammad is the leader. If other people that is not belonging to our ethnicity, they came to the Imam and told the Imam that they follow him and they accept how he presents the religion of Islam, and they told the Imam personally, "Brother Imam, when you die, we're going to make sure that your work get published." So God don't need us. You know, some people think God needs them. No, we need God. We need God. God don't need none of his creation. He don't need no help from us people. He's the merciful benefactor. He's the merciful redeemer. He is the one that created the white man, the black man, the brown man, the red man, and the yellow man. God created you. He is the one that created the people that was born in Africa. They call themselves Africans on that continent. God created them. He created the continent. He created the one they call themselves Arabs, Iranian or Iraqi. God created those people and put them in that part of the earth. Because he said he creates you in the womb as he pleases. And you can't dictate to God what he can do and can't do. That's how men have made a big mistake. So I appreciate Imam Alfred for recognizing and naming the show Religion Mean a Lie, because this is the religion that God gave to us is the religion for all people. I don't care what color you are, white, black, brown, whatever you are. The standard religion is the religion that God says for all people, the religion of Al-Islam, the religion of peace. So I want to just share with something that the Imam, a book on the Imam called Islam, the Religion of Peace by Imam David E. Muhammad. And this is what the Imam has to say to the Muslim world. Because we see a whole lot of people trying to paint a picture that we are not a peaceful people. And they know they're lying. They know they're lying. But there's always been liars that rejected the word of God from the time that God said he's going to make that man. That liar got on the job then, called the Satan, the devil, to prove that that man wasn't the one should be in charge, that he should be in charge. This process is still going on right now. So it is the righteous people. Jesus Christ said, blessings are the pure in heart, for they should be called the workers and the servants of God. Huh? And God has always stood over protection for the innocent that was shut out like we were shut out in this country, denied our rights of freedom, justice, and equality. But a religion came to us, the religion of Islam, and it began to work on the hearts, the souls, and the minds, and the spirits of a people that was shut out from every quarter of this earth, called three-fifths of a human being. And that was the religion of our mothers and fathers before they brought them off the continent of Africa and imposed a religion on them other than the religion of our mothers and fathers, of the way they was practicing the religion in Africa. So this is what Imam Muhammad had to say about that religion. He said, Islam is not a religion made by man. Islam is a religion revealed by God. Islam is not a religion that conflicts with the best of human standards, the best human standards in this world. Islam is not in opposition to it. God does not only say follow the way of Islam. God also said respect the standards, y'all listen, of excellence for mankind all over the world. This is the religion that Imam Alpha Muhammad represents. This is the religion that I belong to, us that evolved with Imam Mu'tadi Muhammad, to accept the standard religion for all humanity, and this is the religion of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad said, it says, give orders and instructions with the respect for the highest standards of mankind. He said, not just Islam, but for the highest known standard for the people of earth. This is Islam, the universal religion. Imam Muhammad said, no Muslim, y'all please listen, that wants to say this religion is other than what God said it is and what he taught the prophet to say it is to humanity. Imam Muhammad said, no Muslim can go against his good human nature and being obeying God and his religion. Y'all hear that? That's clear. That's clear. So you can't continue to try to make the people think the religion is other than when God made it. He said he perfected and give us this religion. This day, it named it Al-Islam, the religion of peace. Oh, yeah. Imam Muhammad says, no Muslim can go against his good human nature and be obeying God and his religion. He said, if you start to do something, and something inside you won't feel comfortable with that, and you know it is bad, then if you do it, you're going against God and against your religion. Y'all hear that? He said, I'm sure that no matter how much indoctrination, the suicide bomber. Ready, ma'am?
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Okay.
No, sir, you're on, sir. No, sir, you're on.
Let me see.
You got another 45 minutes.
Okay, then. Just give me time to read this here, brother. Man, I know you're getting ready, brother, man. I told you I'm going to set him up for you.
As we would say in the nation, take your time, or as Clyde Rothbaum would say, help yourself.
Allahu Akbar. Yes, sir, brother Imam. I just want to share then what the boss said with the hot sauce, brother man. That's Imam Deputy Muhammad. Imam said, if you start to do something, and something inside you won't feel comfortable with that, you know it is bad. Then if you do it, you're going against God and against your religion. Y'all hear that? You people who might want to know what the religion of Islam is all about, we are seeing this religion through the eyes of the one that God blesses here the best, and that is the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And Imam Alpha Muhammad is a top-notch student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, so am I, Mubashir Akhtar. We know who God blessed to be the leader for people that sat in darkness but now have seen a great light. We know who it is. Imam Muhammad said, I'm sure that no matter how much indoctrination the suicide bombers had, y'all listen, he said, I'm sure that something came up in their souls and said, this is wrong. But their commanders had more power over them than their own soul. Peace be unto you, says Imam. Now think about the situation of the people that's falling in. All of these people that are trying to badmouth the nation, the religion of Islam, when they know that the United States of America, two other top presidents of this country, invited the Imam to be a consultant to their administration. Do y'all, how many of y'all know that? They didn't invite, this is a Muslim whose father, for 44 years, his father taught hard that the white man was the devil. All of them, even the unborn one. But that was a strategy because it shook the white man up. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may God forgive him all of his shortcomings and grant him the highest of the ranks in the heaven among the honorable noble men that had gone on before him and that would come after him. Imam Muhammad, his son, is recognized by the wise leader that is over the religion of Islam over there in the east, in Mecca. They know who he is because they the one invited the Imam, some of their top scholars, invited the Imam to come and sit in that tent during the Hajj, the pilgrims, the last pillar of our religion, what's called the Hajj, where all the Muslims from all over the world, all nationalities and colors come once a year, the pilgrims, the Hajj. And some of the top Islamic scholars, two of them invited the Imam to come and sit with them and to talk to him and question him. He wasn't the leader at that time. He was number 25 years old at that time. And then one of the top-notch leaders of the he was called a revivalist too. He was called one that revived the religion. That's my duty. And I spoke to his son, the one that he sent to get the Imam, and asked him. He came, went to the Imam, said, "You want to be Muhammad?" The man said, yes, the son of Elijah Muhammad. The man said, yes, he said, come. My father likes to speak with you. That was my duty, the great my duty of India. So my duty told his followers, he said, listen, leave them alone. They're coming along in a good way. That's what my duty, that wise man told the Muslim world, because they recognized him as a high up in rank scholar. And they heard what he said on Mount Al-Fat. Believe us alone. We're coming along in a good way. Because they heard Imam Muhammad as a minister, young minister, 18, 19 years old, teaching against the way that the ministers was teaching at that time. And they tried to even accuse, some of them ministers tried to accuse the Imam of not following his father. And his father told him, I know what he's saying. He ain't going to teach the Bible. He's going to teach the Quran. That's what they on the night of Mama told them hypocrites to try to get the Imam disbanded and kept out because they knew that a great change was going to come. Like Sam Cook, you say, I know a change is going to come. They seen it coming down that high. And those hypocrites and the crooked ones, they didn't want that kind of change. They didn't want a change to come when they seen when God raised Christ Jesus up, peace be upon the pot. And he stepped on the scene, and they try to confuse him, accuse him of not following Musa Moses' way. And they question him. So you say you follow Moses. What is the first law? What is the first law? To know your Lord, and to know you, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And ain't that what Moses told Pharaoh? You ain't God, Pharaoh. when God woke Moses up and put him on his mission and sent him back to the man that thought he was God in the flesh, Pharaoh. Pharaoh raised Moses and was going to turn his kingdom over. But God, when God speaks to you, brothers and sisters, you're going to respond. You're going to come willing or unwilling. And we hope that you come willingly. So Moses had to deal with the situation. And Jesus Christ and all the apostles had to deal with the situation of following the prophets that they came after. Because the reason why they had to come, because the followers of those prophets had went astray after they passed. You always got somebody who wants to try to do their own thing. This is a big problem in our community right now. All of these Johnny Cunn lately, one helped the man when he was alive. Well, you hear them now trying to get you to support foreign leadership. If they had to put that kind of energy behind the imam, like Imam Alfred, myself, and others that are trying to get you to see the imam, maybe our community would be this much more farther ahead. Spend a lot of time trying to get us to accept the language of foreigners and the tradition and culture of foreigners. If they had to work that hard, trying to get the people to see the Mujahideen, the son of Elijah Muhammad, whose father worked for 44 years to prepare us for this day. I'm happy to hear them. That's why I appreciate him. That's why God gave him a vision of a religion being alive, because he knew, like I know and all the rest of them know, that went with the imam, that he was the one that was prophesied to be the leader of the Muslims in America. That's what them foreigners over there. And another one that from Mecca, he invited the imam too to come on Arafat to his tent. And he questioned the imam about the heart. And the imam said, he told him how the man got them two emeralds, one on the top and the bottom, like a little big baby diaper. That man stopped right there and stood up and told his followers, Wafadim. The imam said, he didn't know who he was talking about right there. He said, my name is Wallace, not Wafadim. But they the one that called him Wafadim. Wafadim is the leader for the Muslims of America. And the imam was just went over there, I think, with some college students. They invited him to go over there to Hajj with them. And his father was the leader, strong at that time. The man went up about, he was in his 20s. And that man recognized then who was going to be the leader of America. And it came to be true. Because this great nation, this great Judaic Christian nation, put it in one of the most important papers in the country, the New York Times, big page of eulogies to the Imam Muhammad, and they recognized him. When they were closing out their talk on his eulogy, they said, Imam Wafadim Muhammad, the American Imam. That's the one that Imam Alfred Muhammad, the Mubashir Akhtar, and right-minded Muslims that came through the Nation of Islam heard, and we choose and we follow. Then nobody make us, we chose to follow the best there are from us. And that is Imam Wafadim Muhammad, because it has been his leadership that inspired Imam Alfred, myself, and other men and women to come to the right perception of who we were, because we were calling ourselves black gods and black goddesses, and we were proud in saying that, because we had been put down so bad by the world, and especially by a white America that shut us out and sold our mothers and fathers on the auction block like animals. Horses and mules and eggs and chickens and things. Didn't even value our humanity at all. But God raised one from those people and took him from the bottom and put him on the top, because the Pope of Rome, one of the most popular popes, John Paul II, invited Imam Muhammad twice to come to the Vatican and speak to over 100,000 of his followers. And he's, Catholicism is the head of the Christian movement in the world. They got the largest group of followers that say they follow Christ, is the Catholicism, the Catholic religion. And they invited the imam twice to their headquarters, where they leader sat on the throne. And he got up, and Pope, he don't get up for nobody. But when Elijah Muhammad's son came, that man got up and ran. He embraced the imam.
stood up for them. Why? Because they know scripture. They know scripture. They know that the cornerstone, that black stone, is going to, God is going to put it in place, and he did it through the leadership of Emile. He put that black stone to be put in place in the greatest country and the greatest nation on the face of the planet that was missing that stone. The black stone represents humanity, your human nature that God created you in, that don't know no wrong when it's not tampered with or taken out of its proper perspective. But when it's put back in, and who have done it more than anyone else, that have called humanity back to the proper right possession of God. It came from a people that our leader named, that he's looked in scripture and seen an African black man who became a follower of Muhammad the prophet, who was a slave in Mecca, and one of the good friends of Muhammad the prophet, the first Khalifa Abu Bakr, bought his freedom because the prophet heard that he wanted to follow him. And that's our ancestor. And Imam Muhammad said, we need a name. We need a name. And he said, we can't continue to call ourselves Negroes and blacks and colored and African Americans. He said, we've been aliens, a special group of people. Savior's Day represents those people who accept that name is still coming together, because that's going to be the name that our people are going to be happy to identify with once they get the proper understanding of who and what Bilal represented and what he did. He was the one that Muhammad the prophet chose to be the personal secretary over his leader, under his leadership at the time of establishing this great religion that has gone all over the world. And now we got 1.6 billion following that man. And he is the one that was instructed to call all of those people through what God appointed him to do through Muhammad the prophet, to be the mu'ettin, the one that is the caller to prayer. He's called Bilal. And Imam said, we are the Bilalians, because God has given that job in America. In America, to call the whole world to the worship of that one God. And that one God is who? The one that created the white man, the black man, the brown man, the red man, and the yellow man. Call him back to that God, Bilal. Call him back to that God, because there's no God but that one. He's the merciful benefactor. He's the merciful redeemer. Call him back. And this is the job that we are on. And this is the job that Imam Alpha Muhammad, religion meaning alive, is all about. We're calling you back to the best of your human nature, because God has blessed us through the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who put us in voodoo for 44 years and cleaned us up, took us out of the muck and mire that this world put us down in. He put our feet on solid ground because he told his son and those that were listening, he said, listen, this is our book. This is our holy book. Put it up on the high shelf, because I got to get y'all ready for the one who's going to teach it to you. That's going to be my son. Have that not happened in our lifetime? You who went to Savior's Day, this past Savior's Day, this past weekend, you heard Imam Alfred at Juma. You heard them people represented. They were speaking from a spirit that was infused into us by the father of our leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he reached down in the gutter with his word and touched Alpha Muhammad's heart. Touch Mubashir Aktab's heart and all of those hearts and souls of men and women that thought they were lost forever and had no hope, because to make white men, he tried to make sure. He tried to make sure that he shed all doors or all avenues to keep us down and out from being competitive as people of this society. But Imam Alpha heard him. And I heard him, and other people that heard him that are still with the Imam, and we're going to always be with the Imam, because we know that that's where we belong, in our hearts and our soul. And this is what they intend on to do, and I appreciate you, Brother Imam Alfred,
for holding the line, man, holding, standing strong, even though opposition's be against you, man. I know your health. I know you.
And I appreciate
got you. Brother, man, I'm gonna bring you on because I want to hear.
I insist. Go on another half hour. I'm ready. I'm getting my notes together now. They worked pretty hard there in Chicago. So go on to 8 o'clock,
okay,
sir.
Yes, sir. Because I want them to know why you take the position that you take, brother, ma'am, and why you are fighting so hard to keep religion alive, not only for us, but for the whole people that make up this United States and for the whole world. Religion means a lot. The religion that our father Abraham established, the religion that God said that is the children of Abraham and Adam. So if you don't follow this religion that I revealed to your father Abraham, you seek to make a fool of yourself. Why? Because Abraham is the one that built the first house on this planet Earth to worship the one God. Now, there was other religious houses to worship the one God that created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and everything in between. That came with our father Abraham. And that's what we follow. We accept that religion, the standard religion. Religion being alive is the standard religion. That's the standard religion. Ellis Mall is the standard religion for all people. Why? Because God said he perfected that religion. And the reason why I appreciate you, Ma'am Arthur, because he's conscious of this here, something that have been planned and put into a scheme, and this is what they have been working to keep us up under and influence, and their children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren to come after them to make sure that they try to keep us in this condition that I'm getting ready to read to you what one of their top leaders that was in the government, a senator, I'm going to read to you what he said, how if they can do this to us, then they kids can have peace and don't have to worry about anything happening or jeopardizing their crooked and that they was put in by their crooked mothers and fathers that disobeyed the rules and laws of God. Listen to what these people said they wanted to do to us. Statement given in 1832 by Senator Henry Berry to the Virginia House of Delegates. Listen to what he told his constituents, his brothers, that were working against the freedom to deny us our freedom, justice, and equality. Listen to what this man said. He said, we have, as far as possible, closed every avenue by which the light will enter the slave's mind. Y'all hear that? He said, we have, as far as possible, closed every avenue by which the light would enter the slave's mind. He said, if we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. He said, they were then. Who is the they? Who is the they they talking about? Us, the African-Americans. Black man and woman and their children and grandchildren, all of us. He said, if we could distinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. They would then be on the level with the beasts of the field, and we would be safe. That's what they intended to do to us for the rest of our lives. But Allah is the merciful benefactor. He is the master redeemer. He intervened in a big way. And now God has his spirit. He said he gave everything in this world some of his spirit. And I see that spirit in Imam Alpha Muhammad. I know it is in me. And that's why I appreciate Imam Alpha, because I went and seen what he did in Newark with my own eyes, because he actually invited me over there to work with it. And he helped bring peace, freedom, justice, and equality to a family, a Muslim that is in our community. And not only them, but it was Caucasian people that was oppressed by the same brother. And he had been doing that for 20 years, moving into people's houses, suing them, damaging their property, and then suing them. Imam Alpha stood up against that person, that misguided so-called Muslim, and got justice. he spoke with the governor at a meeting that the governor came. I mean, he came from Jersey over here, out of Jersey, and it was storming. I'm talking, I couldn't even make it, and I think I was closer than he was to that place where he was going, right off Route 4. But he made it. I couldn't make it. When they had question and answer, Imam Alford, he raised his hand. And when he stood up and made an appeal, he made an appeal to the governor of New Jersey, Governor Christian, an appeal on behalf of that brother and his wife and their children of the treatment that was being meted out to them by this insane so-called Muslim. It was insane Muslim. Governor Christian assured Imam Alford that he would look into the situation, and he did, and he did. And that was the first time that people was relieved of this brother, and they got him out the way. They got him out the way. And he even tried to threaten Imam Alford. He didn't know he was talking to a soldier, man. He was talking to a man who really feared God. Alford wasn't afraid of that guy. None of us was afraid of him. We feel Allah in the right way. In the right way. And when you're right, God is with you, brothers and sisters. When you're right, God ain't with no wrong. Allah is not with wrong. So ain't no way in the world they can make the world think that those misguided, misconfused people over there calling themselves ISIS and Boko Haram and identifying themselves as Muslim. No. So I think I'm gonna have to share this with y'all and give Imam Alford more time, because Imam Alford is precise. He wants to make sure that he's not leaving out what he have on his heart that is needed to be heard. That's what I appreciate about him too. He's a student. He's a student of Scripture. And I'm gonna read this here because I think that this would help set him up for Imam Alford. I can help set you up for Imam Alford to clear up some to clarify the misconceptions about this religion. And this is what Imam Muhammad says. Imam Muhammad says, realizing that much of what has been presented recently by the media concerning the religion of Islam and its adherence has been misrepresented. Y'all hear that? I feel it necessary to begin with a brief presentation regarding some aspect of our religion. Religion being alive now. This is what the Imam Hafiz program is about. This is a program called Religion Mean Alive. Imam Muhammad said, Al-Islam and its adherence has been misrepresented. I feel it necessary to begin with a brief presentation regarding some aspects of our religion. This is directly, especially at those who are not acquainted with the religion of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad said, we want all America to understand the Muslim position. And this is what Imam Alford has been working ever since I've been knowing him, to try to bring this here to the attention of the Muslims who's in our community that might not have this right perception themselves. We got to meet people that's in our community that started out with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that still don't have the right perception. Minister Farrakhan and the way he's teaching those people, they don't have the right perception of this religion. And they say they're following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But the way they present, this is not the right perception of our religion coming from Farrakhan Nation Islam. Imam Muhammad said, we want all Americans to understand the Muslim position. We want peace with those whom we must live and work so that all of us can realize a greater future for ourselves in this country. We want all Americans to know comfortable with us. It should be understood that the concerns I'm addressing and our religion are also, y'all listen, are also precious concerns for Jews and Christians. Imam Muhammad said, I have great hopes for the progress of Al-Islam in this country.
because I know that people are by and large motivated toward good and not toward wrong. I am also aware that the true principle, the true spirit, the true life of the American people has room for Muslims and for the Muslim community. Imam Muhammad said, this country, accommodate Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, and others. He said, a country that has accommodated all of these people with their various ideas of God and life, that it can also accommodate Muslims. Imam Alpha Muhammad recognized this major concern that Imam is addressing here. Y'all listen to him and invite your friends to come around the phone when it's time for him to come on. So I appreciate his understanding on these major concepts of how we fit in as Muslims in a country that accommodate all of these other religions. Imam Muhammad said, a country that has accommodated all of these people with their various ideas of God and life convinces me that this can also accommodate Muslims. But the Muslim must be as serious, y'all listen, but the Muslim must be as serious about living their life as others have been about living theirs, particularly those who have made their life livable here in America. Imam Muhammad says to wear the name Muslim and not have the knowledge of Muslim life is to put yourself in the position to be deceived by the imposters, by the hypocrites, by those who profess to be Muslim, but also have other designs on the people they try to influence. Now, this is a fight that Imam Alpha is fighting. And I know he's fighting it because I've been with him, and I'm fighting it too. That sort of influence of people trying to stand up and say they represent the Imam. But if you listen to them like the Imams and listen to their language, you can see the sort of like that sly, wicked one that God say for all of us to fight against, the shaitan, because he's subtle, deceitful, and he's a liar. We got people like that in Christianity, fighting the good Christian, and Judaism, fighting against the good Jew, and Buddhism, fighting against the good Buddhists, and Hinduism, fighting against Hindu and the sakes, fighting against them, the good people of those religions, and especially the religion of Islam. We got a whole lot of them among us fighting against the good of Islam, pretending to be Muslim, and followers of Muhammad, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the followers of Imam Muhammad, and followers of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, among us still. They the one that give all the religion a bad name. But God says, just help us. He will be the one that will unite the hearts of the people. Oh, you who believe, whether you be Jews, Christian, or Muslim, you who believe in God in the last day and work good and work for the good of the benefit of all people, you will have no fear, nor will you grieve. Imam Muhammad said a new convert to Islam in America has to be especially aware of the imposter who stands up in the name of Islam. If a person is true to his commitment as a Muslim and make pilgrimage to Mecca, he sees and learns the reality of this religion. Y'all hear that? He said when that person returns to America, he knows that Muslims are not all black, but are of all races. Imam said you cannot be a racist and call yourself a Muslim. One of the nations with the greatest history for man is a white nation, and it is almost 100% Muslim. But who would tell you about it? Most readers of this book have heard of the nation called Turkey. The Turkish people are white, and they are Muslim. There are also many Muslims in Yugoslavia, Albania, Romania, Czechoslovakia. That's Russia. Wasn't that far. There are many Muslims in what we call the white continent of Europe, Asia. People should not be fooled into thinking that to be a Muslim is to be in something small or something limited to one race. Islam is the religion that has more people who are dependents of God from the different nations and races than any other religion. 50% of the people of Africa are Muslim. Practically all of the people of Indonesia are Muslim. And they number into the hundreds of millions. Many Americans are not aware that many Indian people are Muslim And the Muslims among them include more than just the Pakistanis. There are over 160 million Muslims in India alone. Imam said, don't think that every Indian person who comes to America who is not a Pakistani is not a Muslim. These are many Muslims. He said, there are many Muslims in China, and not only in what we call Democratic China, but also in the Republic of China. And don't think that all Russians are atheists. Many people who live in Russia believe in God, and among those are millions of Muslims. And Islam is not a religion for any one race. It is a religion for all people. And this is the reason why I know and I appreciate Imam Abu Muhammad when he say religion means a lie. You have to listen to what he's saying here. Religion means a lie. There's no, it ain't no any kind of religion there. All religion will give people what they say is life, because you look at the Christian, they think they're lying when they say they got the Holy Ghost. But is that the real life? Is that the real life? That religion that you say you belong to, is that the real life of that religion? Did God say he perfected any other religion except the religion of Islam? I don't read that nowhere in the Holy Book, but our Holy Book, the book that Imam Abu Muhammad I heard too, and the book that Mubarak Shah I've heard too, and those of us that follow the way of Muhammad the Prophet, who the book was revealed to. Because God said this here. I mean, the Imam said this here. The Imam Muhammad says this here. He says, he takes the position. Listen now, Imam said, he takes the position that everything in this world has been touched by the hands of the conspirators, the shaitan, everything. He said, even the Quran and the commentary of the Quran has been touched by the shaitan's hand. And even the hadith. Imam Muhammad said, the only thing in this whole world that has not been touched by the hands of the shaitan is the book that God revealed to Muhammad of the Quran, because God said he will protect that book. And that's the only thing Imam said that the Satan hands have not touched. Y'all think about these little things. And this is the religion that Imam Abu Muhammad is connected to. And this is the religion that I myself, Mubashir Aktham, and all the right-minded people that call themselves Muslims and identify with the Ummah of Muhammad, the prophet. We know that God said never did he send a prophet or a message to the world that the shaitan then duplicated. God sent messengers and showed that the devil said, and message. That's why Jesus Christ was able to tell no hypocrites that made like they were with Abraham. Jesus said, look, if Abraham was your father, you'll love me. Jesus knew who they were. He said, I know who you are. I know your father, and I know who you are. You are the children of the devil, and your father was a liar and a thief, and the truth is not in him. From the very beginning, he was a liar. He born not in the truth. He's a liar. He's a deceiver, and you are the children of that wicked one. Don't you know we got people that you hear them every day? They got all kind of moves for then the devil worshiper. And that ain't no joke. That's not no joke. They got people that worship in everything. They worship in creation over the creator. Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in between. This is the one that inspired Imam Abu, heart and soul and mind, to put a program together called Religion Me and I. Who you think inspired him to do that? It was the God that created him. I have a show called Message of Concern, and my co-host emailed my team from Rhode Island. Who you think motivated us, inspired us to come up with those shows or any other show that we hear on the Block Talk Radio that present this religion? God inspired these people. God don't just limit his mercy to just one group of people, like the Jews try to want the world to think that God wasn't concerned about anybody but just them. And Jesus Christ had to come and condemn them about that kind of mind. He had to come. That's why they were mad with Jesus, because they thought Jesus was going to come and just direct all his attention fighting their enemy while they sit back and do nothing. And Imam Muhammad came, and he said, I come with two whips. And that's what Jesus came with, two whips. He did not only whip the enemy, he whipped them too, who was fighting against his people, but he whipped his people behind too, because they sat back and let them get the upper hand on them, because they supposed to have been God-fearing people. They supposed to have been following the way of Moses. And they questioning Jesus. And Jesus had to tell them, said, listen, I follow Moses. I didn't come to change the law. I come to fulfill the law. I'm going to show you how you're supposed to live that law that Moses gave you to live by. So that even one believer, Muhammad, come among us the same way in the nation Islam, to live the religion that his father said was our religion, and that he was going to teach us the right way. So I got a couple of minutes to read this here. El Islam for the God's friend, and Imam Abba should be about ready to come on in. Imam Muhammad says, El Islam for the God's friend. He said, El Islam is religion for people who want to be clean. Y'all hear that, and upright. It is a religion for the God's friend, who believe in God, his messengers, his angels, and the revelation, the books that came by way of the prophet, and the judgment. This is a religion for people who believe that you cannot escape justice. If you find people who claim to be of this religion telling you, well, anything you can't prove, it doesn't exist, it is not real, in my eyes, it doesn't exist. Imam Muhammad says such people are atheists, materialists. They are not believers, nor are they of the Muslims. They are liars if they say they are Muslim. They are claiming something they cannot establish. This religion for people who believe in a promise that God has made to them, a promise that they themselves cannot completely grasp with their vision. You just have to believe. There's only one way for the Muslim. Y'all hear this? There's only one way for the Muslim, says Imam. That is to be right. If you're not ready to uphold what is right, to be clean, to be honest in your heart, then you are not wanted in the Muslim community. If you have a double mind, a mind that wants to do wrong in the name of God, you are of the wicked. You are of the devil or the servant of the devil, and you are not fit to be among the Muslims. There are certain principles that God has established, says the Imam. There are certain principles that God has established in the Quran that override everything else. There are clear teachers in the Quran that establish what is right and what is wrong. Anything else that one may hint or intimate with his or her own devilish mind is clearly condemned by what is established in the Quran. The righteous have no way out of what has been established for the believer. But the wicked always have a way out, says the Imam. The wicked refuse to conform to anything except their own looseness, lowliness, and corruption. Imam Muhammad said we must understand that God is all good, and he will not accept anything offered to him unless it is good. Don't fool yourself thinking you're doing something for God and you're doing something wrong. God doesn't accept that. We should not fool ourselves and take up the ways of the wicked way. We're going to advance our cause by any means necessary. Imam said that is not the way of the God-fearing. We cannot use any means necessary. I'm going to read that again. Imam Muhammad said we cannot use any means necessary. We have to use the means that God has made acceptable. Those are the only means we can accept. After all, what is the purpose of learning right from wrong if we can do anything in the name of right? What is the purpose of learning how to be right if we're not going to live that way? Are we just going to know right and then do wrong in the name of right? Imam Muhammad said that is ridiculous. It is important for people to understand, says Imam, that there are many different kinds of Muslims. Y'all listen. You have the orthodox Muslim and the unorthodox Muslim. There is the proper Muslim and the notorious Muslim. The sane Muslim and the insane Muslim. Y'all hear that? There are many different kinds of Muslims. But we must understand that everyone, listen, but we must understand that everyone who stands out front claiming to be a Muslim, representative, is not necessarily a Muslim. But believe me, there are just as many divisions in terms of quality among Christians as there are among Muslims. How many people know that Hitler was an avowed Christian? The fact there was a man, Hitler, who committed terrible atrocities and evils against a people that was weak in this country should not be called for us to now look unfavorable upon Christianity. We can't look unfavorable on the Jews because there is a Zionist militaristic expansionist war machine in the Middle East called Israel. They have brutalized a weak and helpless people with the great arms, great strength, and support they have received from our nation, America. They have used their strength unwisely and savagely against unarmed and weak people. Israel has put them out of their homes into nothing more than prison camp. If some Jewish people behave unseemly, we are not to judge all of them by the behavior of the radical among them. The Jew is to be respected for his mirth. I'm closing out with this. I'm going to bring the imam on. Muslims are not to look to the faces of people. Muslims are those who follow God, and God has set the way for us. He says in the Holy Quran that he looks not to our faces but to our deeds. Thus we must be the same. If anyone does a good deed and correcting the problem that is causing difficulty and strain in the good life of the society, and it affects us as well as it affects other citizens, we must stand for them. Not only will we be helping the Muslim life, but we will be helping society as a whole. That is my position, and I don't beg anybody to join me. God is company enough for me, but I wish we all could be together. That's why I support Imam Alfred, because he takes this position. And I know he do. How I know? Because I work with him. I hear his thinking. I hear his thoughts. I hear his concern. And that's why I'm anxious to bring him on now so he can share with us what God has blessed him to see and understand. When he was out there this weekend among the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the true followers, and the true followers of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. Brother Imam, can you hear me? Brother Imam? Brother Imam?
Yes, sir.
You ready, Brother Mem? I know I'm ready to hear you, Brother Mem.
I'm ready.
I want y'all to please listen to Imam Alpha. Pay close attention to what this brother is saying, because he have in his heart the love for his people, and I do too. And anybody that have gone through what our people went through, if you don't have a love to make a better place for our children, their children, their children, something wrong with you. So I'm going to remove myself, and I'm going to bring in one of the most powerful representatives of the religion of Al-Islam in America, one of the top students and representatives of this religion, supporting the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Wahdati Muhammad. And that is my brother and my friend, one of the top Imam Alpha Muhammad.
Thank you, my dear brother, and happy Savior's Day to you all. We celebrated a little early, the 21st. Yes. And they passed out red delicious apples and said Al-Islam is delicious. And I agree.
Yes, sir, brother.
The moment reflecting on Savior's Day, the address is going to be available for sale within the next week of the tapes for the Jumma, and also for the address that we gave at the banquet. I'm honored and privileged, and thank our humble and noble audience, and thank some of you who helped sponsor us to go to Chicago. I want to just say to you that I really, really am more excited for the 40th year anniversary of the leadership of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. I think we should start firstly with what Mr. Betty Man, the name of that devil from the devil from Virginia, what he said again. Can you give us that quote again?
Yes, sir, Brother Man. Let me get it. I got it right here, Brother Man. This is what this man said, Brother Man. He was talking to the state delegate, the House. This is what he said. The statement given in 1832 by Senator Henry Berry to the Virginia House of Delegates, he says, we have as far as possible closed every avenue by which the light would enter the slave's mind. If we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. They would then be on the level with the beasts of the field, and we would be safe. That's what that man said, Brother Man.
Yes, sir. That's what I need to. I can hardly remember that beast's name.
I wanted to start with that. Our ancestors.
Yes, Brother Mel. Go right ahead.
It started with an idea where they had been disconnected. Some of them began to believe that they were beasts and no longer worthy of God. But there was a group of them who believed something differently. And they said, over my head, I see trouble. Over my head, I heard music. There must be a God somewhere. So for hundreds of years of darkness within the sacred sanctum of our soul, these men believed that this wicked devil, Pharaohs, and other cohorts of his could not wipe out the life that was within them. And so they continued to struggle. Some of them wanted the world to know that there was light in them, so they started knocking on the womb of freedom, physically, as Nat Turner did, as Gabriel Prosner did, as the man who struck the hardest blow against them, Denmark Beach, and there were many others. But never let anybody mislead you to believe that our people just gave up willingly. They killed the slave master's animals. Some of them actually killed the slave master. But they struggle inside of our soul until one from among them, a Muslim man, rose up. See, we need to have a narrative. When a people are in a condition, they need a narrative. The Jewish people have a narrative. The Irish have a narrative. The Italians have a narrative. The only people that don't have a narrative is the Negro. We believe the story that we were animals walking around in Africa on all fours. Some of us today hate Africans because we feel that secretly we were delivered from darkness. We were delivered from ignorance. We were delivered from debauchery by the Caucasian. So this is how the devil, I'm not speaking about Caucasians. It is the African Americans who civilized America and made them Caucasians and cut the tail off of the devil. Listen, y'all, the tail, the T-A-L-E, white supremacy.
That's right, Brother Mel.
Rudy Giuliani raise his tail again of white supremacy. But we should understand something, Mr. Giuliani. Mr. Giuliani is still thinking about that Mandingo, African-American, his wife ran off with. When she tasted Mandingo, she left Mayor Giuliani. He hasn't recovered. So he's a sick man. He's still worried about that African-American. See, much of the Caucasian white supremacy is that he's a frightened, terrified of the African-American man. He traveled through Africa like a pervert, looking at the African-American's private parts. And when he saw that and saw that great civilization, he said, I got to steal him and bring him over here. And they came up with a tale that we wanted a white woman. Came up with a tale that we were savages when they know that there was a lie. So they forced us on ships. They kidnapped us, caused wars in Africa, and brought us to the shores of North America. But what they failed to understand, that Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Rab, the one that nourished a thing from its beginning until its completion, was watching us. He didn't order slavery. He permitted it. So there's a difference between the will of Allah and the permission of Allah. He said, okay, you can go ahead and do that, but, or however, it's going to lead to Savior's Day 2015.
Yes, brother.
It's going to read the Savior's Day, February the 26th, 1975. So that's before we get to February 26th, 1975, we got to get to February 25th, 1975. In fact, we got to go to February 26th, 1974. So let's do a little reviewing.
Yes,
we're gonna knock it out.
Come on with it.
5 minutes. Ain't gonna take us long.
Come on with it, brother man.
What happened was the African American began to knock on the doors of freedom, and Allah, the Creator of the heavens and earth, the Lord permitted Frederick Douglass to have a merciful slave master, if there's such a thing. No slave master, whether a nice or kind, can ever be good, because enslaving a person is never a good thing.
Right,
but she showed mercy and taught him how to read and write. Little did she know that teaching him how to read and write, then he learned some games, some strategy. He had the whiteboard to teach him the rest, and the rest is history. So when he came within the hands of a poor slave master, his soul spoke. That Muslim warrior spirit in him, that former Muslim life that was taught to him by his mother, a Muslim woman, Fulani woman, called properly a Pula woman. And when his slave master messed with him, he knocked him out with a stiff right uppercut. Just like we have to have a stiff right uppercut to the violence that's going on in our neighborhood, the violence that's going on in our home, to the hatred that we exhibit to each other. Every time we act, this man burst out. Every time we mistreat another one of us. Every time we take an Uncle Tommy's act, we are submitting to the slave master. Every time one of these crooked, deceptive imams proceeds to promote anything other than the blessings of God that he bestowed on us through Imam Muhammad, they are participating in the burial story. They're burying us.
Right.
And July the 24th, 25th, and 26th, we're going to celebrate New Africa Day in Newark, New Jersey. And we're going to celebrate all of that. We're going to have a reenactment of Frederick Douglass knocking that slave master out. And we're going to ask every African-American to find some slave master thought and knock it out. Do it right up the cut. Them the kind of rituals we got to have. We don't just need Salat. We need rituals from our culture that speak to our lives. Knock out our slave master. Let's knock out laziness. Let's knock out self-hatred. We're talking about Savior's Day. This is Savior's Day. And we're not talking rhetoric. We're not here to beat up on America. But let's continue the narrative, because we got a lot of work to do to catch up. They said, take your time, but actually we don't have time. Time is running out. Time is running out for foolishness. And so we had this Muslim man, Frederick Douglass, started the beginning of our movement. We're not minimizing Nat Turner. We're not minimizing Gabriel Prosser. We're not minimizing David Walker. We're not minimizing any of them. But the one that we should look toward as our the beginning of our intellect is the man that picked up the human flag. Muslim. And then after you have picked up the human flag, you got to come on back home. And God bless another Muslim man to come on back home. And his name was Abu Bakr, better known as Booker T. Washington. And his campaign was up slavery. And we went on through the panoply of thought. And God blessed another one who said, we got to be explicit about this story. We got to say, we not only were we come from Africa and we got a human flag, we also got a religious destiny. And there rose the great noble Drew Ali. Drew knew that three things had to happen to African Americans. He had to be identified as a Muslim first. He called himself Moorish American. Why did he choose the Moors? He could have chosen the Egyptians. He could have chosen even the Nigerians. But he wanted to send a message
to the world that the Moors had Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Somebody give Farrakhan that memo. I think he missed it. Y'all know Farrakhan. Give him the message. I saw his so-called international representative, Larry Foetz. We were in the same hotel. And Larry Foetz, if you're listening, give him the message. That Drew said, you're Moors, you're Muslims, and you're Americans. The three identities. Anybody who works on the African-American problem, especially for Muslims, has to deal with those three things. I want y'all to coin this Drew's imperative. So one of these academic thieves won't come up and say and steal that idea, because some of them will come up and do that. They'll come up and say, oh, I came up with the idea, but y'all know you heard it on Religion Means Alive. I call it Drew's imperative for identity formation. But that wasn't enough. After having religion, there has to be somebody who will work on the Christian, on our people's scientific reasoning. And that came George Washington Carver, who brought man and showed man that nature was a reflection of God. They physically castrated him, but he produced thousands of scientists like Percy Julian. He produced the environment that the Tuskegee Airmen came out of. He was one of the world's greatest educators and one of the great men of the 20th century, so says Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad in History Bears and Books. But that wasn't enough. There had to be an internal working on the church life. And that rose Benjamin Elijah Mays. Dr. Mays understood something very importantly while he studied at the University of Chicago. He understood that Christianity had pagan origin. And he started the Howard School of Religion and went back and started teaching African-American preachers. See, we're never going to develop our people until we educate an educated preacher class. We cannot have it until we have educated educators that is versed in religion. Not like these imams, jackleg imams that run around and know two Arabic words, can't pronounce them half, and if they can, they got an accent behind them, and don't know the meaning of them. Can't go into one of our cities, a dump is right across the street from our mosque. Crime is running rapid in that neighborhood, and they tell you they know Arabic.
Right, brother.
Well, I say, so did Saddam Hussein. Oh, I'm sorry, can't find him to put no rap. He's dead. Oh, what about Bin Laden? Oh, he knows Arabic. He knows the Quran. Oh, where is he? Oh, he's somewhere in the ocean floating. Okay, so we're going to reference him? So you think Arabic is the answer? I heard one leader say, if you just study Quran, you will be okay. Hey, you can study the Quran until the end of the world. If God don't bless you, you ain't gonna get
right,
nothing.
Right.
You see, what God says, he said, none can touch it but the pure. And also the Bible said, none will see God but the pure in heart. And what do we mean by the pure in heart? We ain't talking about a person that don't drink, don't smoke, don't fornicate, don't do this, don't do that. But don't do nothing for his neighbor. His prayers is worth the wailing of a jackass. You know, he makes a lot of noise too. Yeah. You ever heard the praying of a jackass? It's a frightening and terrifying thing. Well, that's what happens to some of us who learn a few words of Arabic. It's like a jackass praying. Shrill to the ears. No meaning to it. So, dear beloved people, we're going to finish up real quickly, and we're going to move right on to the great Connor Gottwood Woodson, who gave us a rational cleansing of our minds. Imam said, if you can't use clean water, you need to make your prayers, your salat. He said, you can use clean earth. And he said, instead of Farah, he would have did the work of Cottage E. Woodson. Cottage E. Woodson, the miseducation of the Negro, was one of the most therapeutic educational approaches to smashing slavery in the brain. But yes, Mr. Farrar came, and he put a package together and added a bunch of problems to us. And out of those problems rose a man. But before we get to him, we need to understand another man. Because Mr. Farrar was just a package man. He just took what was already among us and sold it to us as a package called the Lost Found Nation of Islam.
Teach, brother, now.
It was not his doing. It was he was a man that put together a package. We should understand these things. But the honorable and noble Howard K. Thurman, he came along and told the people that he had met Mohandas Gandhi. Some of you have heard me statement. They probably heard part of this address, but we need to memorize this as a narrative. See, we didn't all of a sudden wake up and become Muslim. Nobody from overseas came and got us. Even Mr. Farrar didn't get us. What he did, he found us, and we were already working toward freedom. You heard
right.
me? That he founded us, and we were already working towards freedom. In other words, Drew Ali was already there, calling us Moors, having temples, teaching us and calling the Caucasian the Kaibi. So don't give all the credit to Mr. Farrar. He's a man that just gathered up the fragments and brought it to you as a package and presented it to a great man. And then the name of the lady that should be looked upon as the beginning of our history is the modern-day Gabriel. I'm talking about Gabriel, the angel. That's a lady named Lula Spell. Lula Spell. Go and hear this man, Farrar Muhammad, who had brought a package together. You hear what I said, y'all? A package. He had Bishop Turner in it. The black man is God. Mr. Farrar wasn't the first one to teach the black man was God. He had
right,
the militarism
right.
of Booker T. Washington. He had the he didn't even try to deal with spirit. He had Howard Thurman in him. He had those great men, Drew Ali and others. All the great African-American thinkers. The FOI came from Booker T. Washington. Don't think this is an original idea. It was from our ancestors.
Right, brother, ma'am.
But one Wednesday night, Miss Lula Spell, married to a Mexican, came to one of Mr. Farrar's meetings and been to his meeting, and she knew her good friend. She ain't like some of us. You get something good, we won't tell nobody about it. There's thousands of Muslims, 100,000. We don't teach not one person. All we do is talk to each other. Well, Lula Spell was not like that. She was a person who was dissatisfied to see her friends wobbling in sadness and said to Sister Clara Evans, Clara, there's a man in town taking name. And so she brought Sister Clara Evans, a Pentecostal woman who was almost on the verge of committing suicide and killing her children. Her husband was a drunk. It was disillusionment. Because of the fact that they've come to Detroit, the promised land, and the promised land had turned into a hell land. Race riots had taken place. Don Bilal Muhammad was ready almost to die. And Sister Clara just had to pick him up on her back. Bring him home. And so Clara went and heard this man. Came back and told her husband, you got to go out, Elijah, and hurt this man. Elijah Muhammad was sober enough and went to hurt this man, and the rest is history. He walked up to this man and said, I know who you are. You're Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I know y'all want to jump on the Elijah Muhammad. Those of you who hate him, that don't know him, there wouldn't be no Malcolm Shabazz without the Elijah
right,
Muhammad. Brother. The Elijah Muhammad touched Malcolm's brother. And Malcolm's brother reached out in while Malcolm was a petty criminal and a hustler, stealing and breaking into people's homes. Listen, I'm just telling you facts.
Come on
I'm
with it, brother,
you,
ma'am. Come on with it.
I got to tell you this.
Come on with it, brother.
Listen to me. Malcolm was in jail. I don't care what the movie tell you. He was in jail. I got this from his brother himself. So I don't have to go to Alex Haley. I don't have to go to anybody. I know Malcolm's brothers, both of them. I know the brother that he stayed with when he got out of jail because his family wouldn't accept him. I know Captain Joseph that came with him to the East Coast. I know all the people in Detroit that knew him. I knew hustlers who didn't come in the nation that knew Malcolm. So you can't tell me a goddamn thing about Malcolm. I know him better than I do some of my own children.
Come on with it, brother, man. Teach.
Studied him. Know the good, bad, and the ugly. The sane and insane. The loyal and the traitorous side of him. I know Minister Malcolm. I still love him out of mercy, but I'm not a Malcolmite. I'm a man that follows truth wherever it leads me to.
Yes,
so
yes,
in continuing this, this man goes on a Friday, and Mr. Farrar saw him, knowing his name was Elijah. This is Elijah I'm looking for. He said, I know you are. You're Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I know you're going to condemn
yes.
Mr. Muhammad, but you can't condemn him because he grew up in the Bible. And when you see a
right.
man telling you that he can save you, even who, however he looked not too different than what Jesus looked like. And I mind.
Right, brother, ma'am. Right, brother. Right, brother, ma'am.
Speaking of foreign tongues. So you are from Georgia. Come up to the north. And this man is talking Bible to you. And he's defending you. And he's calling your enemies the devil. And he's telling that you're God. And you come out of the Bible. What would you think he is but God? You ready for that? And then your name is Elijah, who comes before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, who turns the hearts of the children unto the father, and hearts of the fathers unto the children, lest he smite the earth with a curse. Listen, folks, that's how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, first Elijah Kareem, and then Elijah Muhammad, and he went ahead and worked. And worked and worked and worked 20 years before Minister Malcolm had even thought I was still sucking on
right.
chitlins, eating
right,
pork and hustling, conking his hair. And then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went to jail where he met up with a lot of future Malcolms. Minister James had come out of jail. So don't think Malcolm was the first one to come out of jail and join the Nation of Islam. If Malcolm had never come into the Nation of Islam, the Nation of Islam was exponentially growing after the 40s. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad took on a new mind. He threw away a lot of Farrar's teaching and started putting his own teaching in and started preaching, do it for self. Build a black nation. And the nation started growing by the hundreds, and then by the thousands, and then by the tens of thousands every week. Firing ministers like Sultan Muhammad, firing ministers like Minister James Shabazz. Malcolm did bring a new dimension. He brought us into the press, but we would have grown without the press. In fact, the press brought a lot of people in that we didn't need to have in and brought us to the
right,
attention of those infiltrators. I ain't taking nothing away from Minister Malcolm. I told you I know the good, the bad, and the ugly. He was the most aggressive person in the Nation of Islam, and we're going to have to compete with his legacy for work. If we work one-fourth as hard as he worked, we would deliver this country. Listen, y'all. We would deliver this country to the ranks of Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad as the rightful leader.
Right.
I'm wrapping
right,
up.
Now, right.
I'm wrapping up. But Honorable Elijah Muhammad was only a womb to create what God really wanted for us. And he created an environment. And Mr. Farrar was right. Oops, he made it that time. First time, oops, he missed. But the first time, he said to the people that he didn't say it, the people said to the Sister Clara Muhammad, that name this boy after me and wrote his name on the door, Wallace D. Muhammad. Name him after me, not Minister Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan was still doing the buck dance, was still cocking his hair, had buck teeth at this time. He was not even in the picture. But Imam Muhammad was nurtured, given the Quran, and don't tell me the Quran saved him, because he believed like we all believed in the early years, and Farah being God, and his nature resisted man being God. And he said, God, if I perceive you incorrectly, show me the proper conception of you, and the rest is history. And he started struggling in his soul, struggling to get the best light for his community. He was concerned about African-American people. He was concerned about the people inside of the nation of Islam. And he brought the truth and understanding. And thus, a new mind with saving power would come. And February the 25th, 1975, it was the end of nationalism. John Elijah Muhammad started in 1974 and told us, stop blaming the white man. Right, respect the American flag. So these people are your brothers, Caucasians from Turkey. He didn't mean to be your leaders and some of you are running to follow the Turks. You shouldn't follow anybody. You should follow your own best inclination. And if you're a decent person, you would naturally follow Imam Wahdat al-Din Muhammad.
Right, brother, now.
Imam Wahdat, on February the 25th, nationalism ended. February the 26th, the greatest revolution in the history of humanity, since Muhammad himself started. And Imam Muhammad corrected the errors and lies and myths of the Nation of Islam, and brought us into truth, freedom, justice, and equality. I just want to close up by saying, if the reports are accurate, that Minister Farrakhan suddenly made a justification for ISIS, or tried to justify any of that stuff, we know he's lost his mind.
Right, brother.
Pray for him, and pray for his followers, for obviously being misguided. I don't really, at this point, have the complete energy to take this to the next stage. I'm going to sign off and leave you back in the hands of Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar, and we will join again. Actually, we're going to have the program Thursday, and we're going to really celebrate Savior's Day again. We're going to celebrate on the 26th, and I'll complete this lecture. Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar,
yes,
will close it out. I'm sure I can see Satan staggering. I'm going to let him do the knockup.
Yes,
he's from the land that is now turned into one of the worst places for African-American people. That is the city of Brooklyn, New York. But brothers and sisters, we're glad and honored that he is beginning to break the land up and bring truth, righteousness, understanding, freedom, justice, and equality for our people. I turn you over to the hands of Brother Imam Mubashir, who will take you further into the program.
Brother Imam, ain't nothing nice.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
Listen, Brother Imam. Man, thank you, man. Thank you. That was most beautiful. And I mean, with you know, the scripture said, the Christ said, I come quick. You came quick, Brother Ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Quick. And you came with things, Brother Ma'am. I know that any sincere Christians that have seen the Nation of Islam come into existence, because Imam Muhammad says, you do not know how God has endured the people around the world for the love in their heart for us, Brother Ma'am. God has made them and open up their heart to love the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam David D. Muhammad, Brother Ma'am. Brother Ma'am, I want to thank you, man.
You did a most excellent job, and putting this thing in the right light. I'm not gonna do nothing. I'm gonna close out with this prayer because you said we're coming back Thursday, and I want to close out with this prayer because I want them to. I want them to let this feel saturate in their heart and soul and mind of this little of the history, Billy, man, that you gave so magnificently, man. I'm telling you, man. How can anyone that came through the Nation of Islam say they follow the Imam, go and dye their beards red, put on long dresses like a woman, call it a jalabiyah? Imam said, them the clothes that the old people call it.
He said,
those are the clothes those people wear when they get ready to go to bed. So they, you can see they didn't put us to sleep because they got many brothers walking around in night clothes, brother man. We just turned pale. They sold fish with us, brother man. They stood in the FOI temple meeting with us. And now they want to go against. God said, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? And look how they denied the good favors that God has bestowed on us. So, Brother Imam, I want to thank you once again. People, you will listen to our Imam Alfred Muhammad, who is the host of Religion Mean Alive. And I told you, he got that religion, that old-time religion, that was good enough for grandma and granddad, great-grandma and great-granddaddy. That's the religion that you just heard coming from Imam Alfred Muhammad, who's the host of Religion Mean Alive. Come on every day, 7 days a week. And I hope that you can help keep this program on, and I want to make a Imam didn't ask me to do this, sir, but I know that he's have a big problem. But look at the spirit this man got, and he's dealing with a health problem. But look at the spirit. You know God is with him because I know his condition, and I know that he's tired. You know, it's causing him to tire. But he don't. But listen, Imam Alfred heard what the Imam said, and I heard him too. Imam said, if you're going to fall out towards the objective. What is the objective? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Imam is on that road. Imam Alfred is on that road. So I'm going to close out with this prayer and ask y'all to join Imam Alfred Muhammad for the rest of the week and on Thursday because he got a special program he said he had for you. But I'm going to close out with this prayer that Imam Muhammad gave us that he said, Muslims, this is a regular prayer for Muslims. And it says, O Lord, do not allow our hearts to go back to corruption after you guided us and give us from your present mercy. I'm going to read that again. It says, O Lord, do not allow our hearts to go back to corruption after you guided us and give us from your present mercy. Amen. I want to thank you. You have been listening to Religion Mean Alive, and you heard the host of that show, Imam Alfred Muhammad, with that sincere and honor and sober message of Religion Mean Alive. So I want to thank you, the listening audience, and help him. And you have his post office box, and we want to help defray the medical costs that he have, because you can hear that we need people to work on the behalf of humanity the way the Imam Alfred, in his good health he worked, and in his bad health he's still working because his life is for God, and that's the kind of people I want to be around, and that's why when he called on me, if I can help him, I'm going to help him. So send him with his defray his medical expense if you can. Whatever you send, I know he will be highly appreciated. And I don't know, Brother Mel, you still on? Could you get that address right quick, Brother Mel? Brother Mel? Imam must be gone. We'll get. Brother Mel? Brother Mel? Okay, Imam, he might be gone. But I know that some of you is a regular on this program. So help Imam Alfred and keeping the broadcast alive and helping to pay the medical bill that he's facing.
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. I'm sorry I had gone away to get something to eat.
Yes, Brother Imam. I will close now. I'd like for you to give them the address that they can send to help keep your show alive and to help you defray that medical cost that is a burden on you and your family.
Yes, sir. In fact, we are desperate in need of money. We had to borrow Yes, sir. We had to borrow $1,200 to get to Chicago to address the Savior's Day convention. We didn't have the money of our own. Someone loaned it to us. Got to replace that money. We need other money. So please, dear people, send your donations immediately to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Actually, we need the money really by Thursday in order to pay this Blog Talk bill. Anybody like to send it to us via Western Union, you can call us at 908-463-4843, and I'll give you the instructions. You just give us a control number and wire the money to us and send it to us as soon as possible. That is to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. So if you'd like to send it to Western Union, we appreciate it. We do need the $1,200 to pay back people to get to going to Chicago. It wasn't free. Moscow doesn't have any money to give us. I don't even think about asking them.
Right.
Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad II has several people that been taken care on the charity list from the Ahmadiyya Muhammad's from Imam Muhammad's time. And people who
are
taken care from the Ahmadiyya Muhammad's time. That's a charity, so that money goes to them.
Allahu Akbar.
And
Allahu Akbar.
I don't ask them to keep up the buildings and keep these things as a very expensive proposition. Our budget is close just to keep this ministry going. It's a couple $1,000s a month. Sometimes we get donations, sometimes we get behind. But every one of you, and I'm sure at least 50 to 100 of you, each of you all sent us $50. We could do this budget easily. But we not only that, we want to expand. But I'm not going to hold you. I don't like to beg people or anything. But I don't mind asking. Because Allah says charity is for those who ask and those who don't ask. I'm going to close it out, and I thank you. We'll see you tomorrow on Religion
Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum, brother.